don't have a whole lot of it. But what we got, we are willing to expend for the Lord. Yes. We have a scripture we'd like for you to look at for consideration tonight. Job 18 and 18. Job 18 and 18. The whole 18th chapter is Bildad's estimation of a sinner. It concerns the sinner and his end. Verse 18 says, "He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world." He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Will you reach your hands this way? Pray and ask God to help us. Father, we need you, Lord. We can't preach with liberty unless we can speak. Now I pray, Father, you'll touch our voice. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We're asking for your help. In the name of Jesus, anoint us and help us. He shall be driven. The driver is Satan. He shall be driven. And the direction that he goes is from light into darkness. And the pursuit ends up out of the world. Just for a minute before I preach, I want to ask you, have you a loved one that you know that is lost and is classified a sinner? I want you to know right now, tonight, he is being driven and being chased. One of the most ruthless, horrible king, the Bible calls him here, the king of terrors, is on his trail. He knows no quarter. He recognizes no age. He does not care how many people depend on him. He is chasing, he is driving, and he is chasing to get you out of this world.
Yes. Come on, Brother Benny. Help you, God.
On the trail of every sinner, there is the devil. Every lost spirit looks for a place to abide. The Bible said, and the unclean spirit walks through dry places, seeking a place of rest. They have no rest until they find a heart in which they can enter. Chased, driven, chased, driven. The devil is out tonight. You say, well, Brother Sutherland, my children aren't interested. My husband isn't interested. I'd like to preach to you tonight. There's a reason. Behind that frenzy, behind that going and coming, behind that stands one driving force. The devil. The devil. His promotion is spelled S-I-N. But sin is only the allurement to get you to where he can chase you and drive you. Hope you help me preach. It speaks of the sinner, listen. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. He cannot sit long. Did you ever notice the sinner? He's never settled. It's up, it's out, it's back, it's down, it's up, it's out. It's always going, going, never settled. The terror of sin drives them to their feet. They're like a caged animal. No rest. Why? Because there's somebody after them. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. A sinner never knows where it's coming from. They go to the bar. They sit with their back against the wall. They go in and they look around. They look and see if they can find the trouble. They want to keep their eye out. They're always suspicious. Everybody is presenting a problem. They don't know where their enemy is coming from. Amen? They're driven. They're driven from light into darkness. They're being driven like dumb cattle. They're being driven like an animal that's hunting. One of the things that they do on the hunting expeditions is have a drive. They put men out, Brother Jerry, in a location and drive the prey towards the man with the gun. That's what the devil does. He comes into light, but he never lets you close to the light. He always drives you into the darkness. Always from light to darkness. From light to darkness. From light to darkness. He'll never let you stay too long. You can come to church. You'll hear the preacher preach, but he won't let you stay too long. You got to go take a smoke break. You got to go to the bathroom. You got to go to work. But all he's doing is chasing you, driving you from the light to the darkness. From the light to the darkness. He doesn't care whose son you are. He doesn't care whose daughter you are. He doesn't care that your mama is praying for you. He doesn't care that your daddy is concerned about you. He doesn't consider your wife's anguish of you being out late. He doesn't consider what your children will have to do if he gets you out of this world. He doesn't take any thought of that. All his thought is to take you out of light into darkness and then chase you out of the world. I wish you'd help me preach. It said, it shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. The word strength there means bars. He tears down the bars of their strength. He begins to eat away at their strength. Eat away at their strength. Every drink diminishes your strength. Stops your ability to think. Every cigarette is scientifically approved, takes hours off of your life. Help me preach. So he not only gives you liquor and gives you cigarettes, but then he introduces you to marijuana, and then he leads you up to a little bit more, and then he graduates to a little bit more, and then all he does is get you to where he can chase you and drive you. He drives you from the light into darkness. That's the whole setup of the devil. He's out driving. Some folks said, well, why do they go to these places? There's somebody behind them driving them like cattle. Whipping them down the road with passions and lust. Driving them out of light. They won't let them stay in church. Oh, they'll break free. Just like your brothers did tonight, Frank. Promised all the way up. And then when you called to make sure they're coming, wouldn't answer the phone. What it was, there was a power behind them that drove them and said, no, don't go. Don't go. Stay in darkness. Don't go to that light. Don't listen to that gospel. Don't go around those people. There's a chance that you'll be liberated. Stay in darkness. That's what he does. He drives. He drives from light into darkness. They're driven. They're driven. They're driven by passions. They're driven by a spirit. People who used to come to this church right here are not here tonight. Because a spirit got a hold of them. That's right. A spirit that drove them from light back into darkness. Ask them what they've got. They may have a few more bucks. Amen. Amen. They may have what they call a few more liberties. But not really. They've lost the light. They're now facing the darkness. Every day drives them further from the light and deeper into darkness. It's a steady push. It's a steady push. He don't give you no quarter. You get up in the morning with good intentions and he's on you all day long. And he drives you to the bar. He drives you to the picture show. He'll drive you back to the television set. He'll drive you back. Anything he can offer you. But the drive is from light into darkness.
Amen.
Oh,
help him.
When I first seen this, Brother Red, you know who I saw when I read that scripture? I saw my dad. I saw him for years. He was a strong man, I thought. He was a fighter. He never backed up from nobody. If he couldn't whip you with his fist, he'd pick up something. He'd do it. He wasn't afraid. He just in him. He just loved to fight. But then when my eyes was open, I seen his scripture. I seen my dad as a weak man being driven, just being whipped out of the world. And oh, my heart broken. I said, oh, God, save my dad. If you don't save him, he's going to be driven right out of the world. One day I'll follow him to a sinner's grave. One day I'll cry over him. And I'll say, oh, God, I wish my daddy had been saved. But the power behind him wasn't his muscles that made him want to fight. It wasn't the matter that he could hold beer after beer. It wasn't all of those. Behind him was a driving force called sin that drove him to drink and drove him to fight and drove him deeper until now, 60 some years old, never bowed his knee, won't go to church, won't pray, doesn't seem to be concerned about his soul, and the God of this world has blinded his eyes like Samson. And is leading him out of this world. Driving and leading him. And chasing him out of this world. My friend, I'm a preaching to you tonight. There's a force in this world that's driving and chasing your loved ones out of this world. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle. And it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. His confidence will be rooted out. There was a day when he could quit smoking. There was a day when he could have quit drinking. There was a day he could have quit those things. But not now. His confidence is rooted out. He can't quit. He'll quit for a while. Go back to it. Every sinner's that way. He'll say, I'll show myself to be a man. He'll break it. Amen. And walk away. But soon he'll find himself cowering down and looking around to come back to the King of Terror's feet and take up again that which he was freed from. Oh, my friends. My friends, it highly amazes me that we know so many people that are lost. And it took us such a long time to see, as Jesus saw, behind every sinner, there's a slave driver that whips them and lashes them and drives them and chases them out of the world. It's like the wolf that runs the old elk. He can't handle him until he wears him down. So he just keeps on running him. Keeps on running him. And keeps on running him until he gets fatigued and he gets tired. Amen. And then there'll begin to be another one. And they won't go to the front and tackle those horns. But as he runs, they'll reach up and try to bite him in the hams to tear those ligaments and muscles to slow him down and make him weak. And if they can slow him down, they'll start biting him in the stomach and trying to tear his intestines out to bring him down. And after a while he is yet bleeding, they will go for his throat amen, and try to cut his veins so he'll bleed to death. My friend, that's the way the devil does it. He doesn't come at you in your strength. He'll chase you for a while and wear you down. He'll have folks to tell you, now if you're a man, you'll smoke this. If you're a man, you'll try this. If you're a man, you'll take this. If you're a man, you'll go with this, amen. And they'll taunt by taunting your manhood. Nobody likes to be thought of, sissy. So everybody stands up and says, I'll show you I'm a man. But what you're doing is coming down to the foot of the King of Terror. And after a while, he'll be in the driver's seat. He'll be in the driver's seat. And then he'll drive you from light into darkness. Oh, I know some friends. I never thought that they would end up doing what they've done. Good boys. Good girls. I never thought they'd end up doing what they've done. I never thought that some of them would be behind prison bars. I never thought that some of them would be as awful as they are. But he takes you from light, Gerald. And he keeps edging you away from light. And then he gets your back to where the light is. And he starts adjusting your eyes to darkness. And then he begins to set the darkness in. And oh, how dark it gets. You can't tell who really loves you. You tell them, Richard, I love you. And they said, oh, no, no, you just don't want me to do those things. You go to church and you want everybody to be religious. But no, there's more to it. Their eyes are blinded and their heart gets hard. And they're in darkness and they can't see. They fall to the King of Terror. And he drives them till he can chase them out of this world. Listen to what it says. And it says here, it shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. That's where the devil ends up. It's not your tabernacle no more. Legion started off just flirting with sin. Just flirting with sin. And then one devil found a way into his heart. Oh, it wasn't too bad. Just a little lust, but just a little devil. But then he went and found seven more. Worse than the first one. They came back. And the seven didn't have no problem getting in. And then that seven left one and went and gathered seven more. And you keep multiplying it till you find that his name was Legion. And Legion means the smallest legion was 600. In that man walked 600 devils. They didn't come at one time. They edged him away from light into darkness. They edged him away from home into the beer tavern. They edged him away from home back to the movie shows. And it's bad today. You don't even have to go to the movie show to watch the movies. You can get you a television and buy you one of those videos. And you can sit at home and watch all the ungodly filth. That's amen, Brother Benny. Never have to leave home to watch it. Oh, the devil's shrewd. He said, now they won't catch you going to the movies. You can rent that thing and get it back before anybody knows you've ever watched it. And they'll not only rent that, but they'll go and find those X-rated movies. Those awful things that only the ungodly desire. And the saints start a little bit at a time. Just a little bit more flesh. Just a little bit more exposure. Just a little bit more lewdness. Until finally, they're not only watching X-rated things, but they're sneaking around and getting them a camera and doing things that are perverse themselves so they can watch their own awfulness on the screen. And it's just the devil going out of light. You'll have more fun out there. Go on, you'll be liberated. Go on, get away from these stiff-necked, holy-than-thou people. They don't like you. Go on, get away. You can start doing things that you've always wanted to do. Go on. And every once, he just keeps pushing them towards the dark. Pushing them towards the dark. Edging them away. Every once in a while, you can see one and they'll turn and look and say, I don't want to be like this. They'll break away and go back to the altar. And then you'll think, oh God, they've made the escape. And here he comes again. And he gets down right beside him at the altar. And he begins to say, now look, you know if you get serious, you've got to go make this right. You'll have to go make this, do this and that. And they get discouraged right at the altar. And they get up from there and they go back and sit in their seat. And he sits right beside them and steals that desire out of their heart. And when they get up, they go back to the same old pattern of life. Back to not praying. Back not to reading the Bible. Back to watching the television. Back to thinking about the ungodly things. I wish you'd help me, please. And he just keeps pushing them. Just pushing them, pushing them. He never lets them have any rest. There's no rest to the wicked. And he just herds them up. Just herds them up. Keeps them going. Come on now. Keep them moving, you know. We got to get this done. And they do it. And they really don't know how far away from the light they've got. Because if you gradually go into darkness, your eyes adjust as you go. And it looks all right. Legion didn't start out a legion. He started out somebody's wife with somebody else's wife maybe, or somebody else's chicken, or somebody else's hog, or somebody else's something. Or maybe he just stole something small and then it started out something bigger and it got bigger and bigger. We don't know just how he got to be a legion, but we know he didn't happen overnight. He finally got to where his tabernacle wasn't his own. We've got mental institutions, and no offense. If you've got loved ones in them, no offense. But there's a lot of mental institutions that the people in there are not mentally sick. They're devil-possessed.
Right.
Instead of us seeing our legions in the graveyards and on the street, we gather them up and we put them in institutions. Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Legions on a boat in New York. He waited till he got on the ferry boat and pulled out his great big old knife and began to cry in the name of God and waded in and started hacking on a woman, and an off-duty policeman had to threaten to shoot him to get him to subdue him. Who was it? It wasn't just that man. He wasn't doing that in just the name of God. There was a devil that told him, you can do this. This will be what God would want done. And he just hauled off and hacked and cut and tried to kill. But the Bible says he comes, the devil comes, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. We don't raise our children that way, but some of them have ended up that way. Dangerous. Dangerous. Because they're in darkness so deep that they can't get out. How deep do you have to be in sin? Not very deep. To be controlled by the devil. To whom ye yield your members, to him you are the servant. Just yielding your members. That's all it takes. Just open your lips and raise the bottle and pour it down. You become a servant. Just open your mouth and belch out ungodly cuss words and vile talk. You become a servant. Just let your hands reach out and take that which don't belong to you, and you become a servant. A servant. A servant. And watch them. Watch them. They got one direction. It's into darkness. They may stay at home. They may never do nothing bad. But it's in their heart. And they keep going into darkness. Driven. Driven by a maddened passion. Driven. A man I just got acquainted with. His boy's in prison tonight. He got in prison because he got with the wrong crowd. He got the rap and they got off. His daddy said, come home as soon as you get out of prison. Come home. See, not too many months ago, they were to turn him loose. His daddy said, come straight home. He said, oh, daddy, he said, I've been here for such a long time. He said, I'm going to spend a week in this city. He said, then I'll be home. He accumulated a little bit of money. got him a change of clothes. He went out on the wild side because that's where the devil wanted him, back in darkness. He run out of money. The first thing he found him with, his pocket knife, Gerald. And he had reached up and unlocked the window of a pickup. He reached in and unlocked the door. He reached in and hot-wired it. And off he's going. The same thing that put him in before. And there he was, right back under the wheel of a stolen automobile. And he didn't get but a few blocks down the road and back into jail again. From light, from liberty, to darkness and prison. Oh, do you know that in our reformatories and our prison, the rate of return is almost 7 and 8 out of every 10 end up again in prison? What's behind it? A driving force. He keeps them locked up in asylums. He keeps them locked up in prison. But he has one desire for them. That's to chase them out of this world. Brother Curley's son, Jerry, works as the assistant warden in a little prison at Bowley. Jerry said the other day, he said this fella had caused some trouble. They formed gangs in a prison. This guy had caused some trouble with one of the other ones and had whipped him in a fight. And this guy had told his friends. And they got their knives. And there's no way to keep them from it. Every one of them packed one in there. They got their knives. And this guy stayed as close as he could to the guards. He's standing there between two guards when the men rushed him, pulled a knife and backed the guards up against the wall. And they repeatedly stabbed him. The 4 or 5 of them just cutting him and stabbing him just as fast and as often as they could. Finally, when they backed off, he was bleeding from everywhere. The guards started to help him. They put the knife to his throat and said, "We'll kill you, let him die." There he laid wallowing in his own blood, begging for help. And men with knives at the guards' throats said, "We'll get you." Finally, a woman went over there and said, "I don't care what you do to me, I'm going to help him." And she lifted his head to let the blood run out of his mouth so he wouldn't strangle on his own blood. And he died on the floor of that prison. And somebody said, "There's no driving force." Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. He will do but one thing for your loved ones, and you had better hear me and hear me good. He's got but one route for them, and he's going to chase them out of this world. He went right into the Lord's disciples and whispered in Judas' ear and said, "Come here, I got a deal for you. Why don't you trade him for 30 pieces of silver? You've already got the bag, and you can have 30 more pieces of silver. And you can go buy some land, and you can retire. You can take what you've got of his, and you can add to it, and you can buy this land and forget about this." So Judas went to him and dealt with them and conveyed with them, "For 30 pieces of silver, I'll betray him. It's the one I kiss." And he went into the garden. Ah, yes, it's always the garden. It's always the night. And he came and he repeatedly kissed the Lord. He repeatedly kissed him. Still they bound him and led him away. You'd think that would be the end of it, wouldn't you? No. He's only driven him to that. Now the chase is on. Judas is trying to straighten up. He takes the money back and throws it down and says, "I betrayed innocent blood." But the chase is on. And as Judas starts running, he doesn't know what he's running to. But before the breaking of the next day, Judas had been chased out of the world and went to his own place. I've heard people sit in church and be warned. And they said, I'm going to. I'm going to get right. I'm going to pray. And within a day or two, cut off just like that. One boy, I've told you before, rode his horse into a tabernacle meeting, asked the preacher, "How far is it from here to hell?" and laughed as he stirred his horse and sped him out into the night. And the horse going out of the light into the darkness, his eyes couldn't adjust, and it stepped in a hole, stepped off into a ravine and flipped and lit on top of the rider, and the preacher stepped it off. And it was only less than 100 yards between the altar and hell. 100 yards from hell. And the man was chased, beaten, and driven to laugh at the last few minutes of his life. Laughed. How far is that, preacher? From here to hell. Ha, ha, ha. Less than a few minutes, my friend. Less than a few minutes, my friend. Driven and chased out of this world. Chased. Oh, chased. Gone. You remember the lash, don't you, Brother Carpenter? Gone. Go on back. Let's have another drink. Gone. And you said, no. You remember what it was like, Brother Willie, when you wanted to do better and you found yourself not doing it. Stay away from church. Don't go back to church. There ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites anyway. You won't get along with them. Go on back. Get back to the house. Mind your own business. You're a good guy. You can pray when you get ready to die. Always he's got something. But there's one desire, and that's to chase him out of the world. How far are you from it? How close is he to you tonight? No offense. No offense whatsoever. But I think about Brother Fox from Kentucky. Preached all of those years. Got sick, and the devil just hounding and hounding and hounding, hounding and hounding and hounding. Until he goes and lays across the grave of his wife and takes a rifle and ends it. I think it was Sister Teddy or Sister Lee one told us of their daddy finding a preacher friend in bed. They pulled the cover back. A pistol had been cocked and placed at his stomach. One shot and into eternity. A preacher that had prayed. A preacher that had preached. The devil doesn't care who you are. He's got but one desire. And if he can't, he's going to chase you clear out of this world. Oh, God. Oh, God. Listen. You may play around with church, but every time you play church, the devil's going to get a hold on you. Every time, my friend, that you get loose and cold, the devil doesn't give up ground. He takes ground. The Bible tells us to occupy till he comes. Amen. Brother, you better listen. You start picking up things you've laid down. You're not gaining ground. You're yielding ground to the devil. He's going to move in and take it. Amen. You start laying down holiness principles. Laying down holiness convictions. You're not gaining ground. You're not getting liberty. You are falling into the trap of the devil. Right now I'm preaching to somebody. The devil has talked to all week. I'm trying to trade you something for your soul. Get you to turn your back on church so he can start the chase.
Yes.
When he separates you from people who loves you and prays for you, you are alone, my friend. You're alone. When the church stops praying for you, you're alone, my friend. You're alone. I think about Brother Carl when I turn around and see him sitting here. How such a sweet spirit he had when he talked about being out of church for such a long time. And then God being gracious to him to let him come back home. The devil had chased him for years, but God stopped the chase long enough to open the door and let him get back in. Oh, brother, some of them that's left church have not been that fortunate. They've not found the door again. They died in their sins, and the devil chased them clear to hell. Before you backslide, my friend, you had better take some thought. You leave this place of safety, and the devil will be on your heels tomorrow morning. He'll be there with passions and lust that you never thought of. He'll be there with thoughts that you never thought of. He'll be there planning things in your mind you never thought of. You may laugh at me. You may say, "Preacher, I'm not that way," but you don't know what you'll be. You don't know what you'll be. You let the devil into your life and you'll find out. We went and bought a library from a preacher. Just as soon as I started talking to him, I detected something wasn't right. Had three beautiful little boys. But his trailer had the signs of no woman in it. Three beautiful little boys. And I asked him. He said, "Well," he said, "I've known her for 17 years. He said, "I courted her for 2. I was married to her for 15. He said, "One day she just looked at me and she said, "I want out." Yeah. And he said, "She got out." He said, "I don't stay here much." Right in the church house. The devil had worked on her and worked on her until she could say of her three boys, "You don't need a daddy." She could say of herself, "You don't need a husband." And just say, "I want out. I want out. I want out." Oh, such pain that goes through the hearts of men. But behind it, there's a lustful spirit that says, "Go out. Go on out. Men are crazy about you. Go on out. You can have your pick of the flock. Go on out. Dress up. Go on out. Bare your body. Go on out. Wear your dresses a little tighter. Wear your jeans a little tighter. Wear less clothes and fix your hair. Men will be falling all over you." No, they won't. Not good men. Just the devil's ornery bunch will be there to sniff at your heels. But that's to chase you out of the world.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost. The chase is on. Our loved ones, Richard, are just a few steps from them. The chase is on. The only hope is that we can man the door and hold the gate open and holler for them. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Listen, you may say they're not doing anything. They got good homes. They got good families. But that's today. Tomorrow the devil's got another trap. Tomorrow there's another pit dug. Down the road there's another enticement. Down the road there's another one. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, I worked in a public job for a while. I watched a young lady come in who was happily married when she started working. And then in a few months I noticed that some other married man had begun to talk to her. It wasn't long till she got out of the car and she kissed her husband goodbye. She walked in the plant and the first thing she done was went to the restroom. When she come out, sometimes she had on slacks, sometimes shorts. She had changed clothes. She was one thing to her husband, another thing inside. Because she didn't see him all day. And when she got ready to quit in time, she went and changed back to her clothes she wore home. And then when she did wear a skirt, she'd go in the restroom and it would be down to here when she went in. When she come out, she had rolled it up around the waist and it was up to here. Just a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. But before it was all over, she had left her husband. She had left her children. She had broke a home up. And another wife was weeping in the night. And these two souls had somebody behind them that was driving them with passion out of the world. Out of the world. You say, "I'm not interested in nobody else." That's the day. If you don't pray and serve God and fast and seek God, tomorrow may be the pit. that you fall in. Don't boast, my friend, don't boast. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Don't boast, don't boast. Walk softly before God and say, oh God, keep me. I can't keep myself. There's pitfalls for the preacher. There's pitfalls for the preacher's wife. There's jealousy that can come in. There's a lot of things that can come in. And if you don't watch, he'll get between a preacher and his wife and wash them and gouge them until their ministry is a nothing, until their home is a nothing, until they're all things destroyed. You say, how do you know? I've watched it happen, my friend. Drive them right out of the ministry, right out of the church, right out to the world, and from the world into hell. Driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Chased. Chased. You can't see what's chasing you. And you can't get a hold of it. There's been a few times if I could have got a hold of him, I mean, we'd had war. If I could have got a hold of him, we would have had it out. We would have at least got up and stood like a man, but you can't get a hold of him. It's a force you can't control. It gets in you and it just won't turn loose. It's like a gnawing pesticide that just gets a hold of you, a parasite that just keeps gnawing and sapping your strength until you find yourself crawling, crawling in slime and crawling in slop and crawling. And finally you just crawl into the hog pen and you're fellowshipping with people you can't stand. You can't tolerate them, but you find yourself there. You're driven out of light into darkness and chased out of the world. Chased. Oh God. Chased until you don't have strength. Chased until you're wore out. Chased until you say, I'll just take an overdose. I'll just go to sleep and not wake up. I'll just end it. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. I'm just tired. And that's what happens when he gets ready to kick you out of the world. He makes you so tired of living and so tired of fighting that you just throw up your hands. And say, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? What's the use? And that's when you're getting ready to take the plunge. Oh God. Thousands of souls are leaving this world while we preach to you this message. Thousands have been chased and driven out of this world while I preach to you. If you could have heard the screams of the dying and the lost as they stepped off of this planet into hell, as they fell and their soul fell into hell, you would have heard screams that said, oh no, not this. Oh no, not this. Because when you get into hell, when he chases you out of this world, you remember everything there is to remember. And those same passions eat on your soul in hell. Eat and eat and eat and eat. Because you don't stop it with taking your life. And you don't stop it when you die. You continue to live it out in hell. And you're whipped by the flames and the scourge of memory. And the Bible said, and their worm dieth not. Bow your heads with me. Father, I don't know who I preached to tonight. I really don't know. And it's better that I don't know. But I've delivered the warning. I've delivered the message. Their blood will not be required at my hands on that day. I've jerked the veil off and I've shown the behind these things is the devil, the king of terrors. And he sets the trap and he chases people into them. He allures and he tempts and he lies and he cheats to get men's souls to follow him. And then he ends up driving them and chasing them out of the world. God, my Father, hear me tonight. And give place in the space of repentance. There's some people here that need to change their mind. They're headed for a trap. They're headed for a trap. They're going towards the pit. I can see it, Lord. I can see it. They're going, Lord, unless you stop them. They're going towards the trap that he set for them and they don't know it. They're blinded as they turn their back on light. They're not praying and seeking your face like they ought to, and they're headed towards it. Oh God, tonight turn them around. Rescue them, Lord. Turn them, we pray. Oh Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, settle on this congregation. Touch our hearts with a burden. Open our eyes to behold. Let us hear, Lord. Oh God. Oh God, I feel such an urgency. Will you help me? Will you help me, Lord? Will you touch the hearts of men and women tonight? Save them from that devil's trap. Save them from it, Lord. Lest they be swallowed up in their own iniquity. Lest they be broken in their own act of violence. Help them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Oh God. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Talk to hearts. Speak to moms and dads. Speak to husbands and wives. Speak to children. Listen, he's talking to you. The devil sets a trap. And your heart ends up bitter. The devil sets a trap. And you end up with hard feelings. The devil sets a trap. And you lose your anointing and your joy. The devil sets a trap. And he robs. And he steals. And he's trying to kill so he can chase you out of this world. Oh God, somebody needs to step out right now. You need to make a break right now. You need to get off of that path. It's got a trap in it. It's got a trap in it. He's got the snare laid for you. You need to come. You need to come. You need to come. You need to break right now. Change directions. Say, Brother Benny, if I'd go, somebody would think I wasn't right. I wouldn't care what they think. The Holy Ghost would have bidden me, I'd believe him. He knows what tomorrow holds for you, my friend. He knows what tomorrow holds for you, and you'd better listen to him. You'd better obey him because he's your only hope. He's the only hope out of that snare and that trap. You need to come. Before he gets a hold of you that you can't break, you need to come. Won't you stand all over the congregation? Make a way for those that would like to come and pray. Come on to this altar. Come on. Come on and seek God. Jesus.